Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Baxter Jury, good afternoon.
How do you do?
Good. Good. We were just debating whether it's chaise longue or chaise longe.
I always get it wrong. I think they actually the publisher re-spelt it to make it look French.
Right, okay. I've been telling people that you are Ian Jury's son, and chaise longue or chaise longe or whatever it is your childhood memoir. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, it's a compilation of tales, I guess. More, it's not really memoirish. It's not. It's an observation of a certain time.
Okay, there's a picture of you on the cover with a Harrington jacket, and underneath you have a Shakin' Stevens T-shirt. Now, I don't know how anybody involved in you allowed you to wear a Shakin' Stevens T-shirt. You were Ian Jury's son.
Yeah, I think that was the point.
You know,
it was a bit of independence I was trying to grab from the kind of concrete, cool figures around me. I'd found my own person I liked. I don't know if that was very appreciated. But
yeah. And so being Ian Jury's son, you're 50 this year.
Am I?
Are you? Are you? Yeah. You threw me there. So that's how you want to play it. Okay, here we go. We played Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick to start the show today. You were 7 or 8 at that stage. When did you realise that your dad was sort of a rock and roll superstar, punk, whatever you want, way you want to describe it?
Well, I'm not sure. I think some of the book that I wrote about, it's not written about him, but it's writing about you don't at the time know the difference between your life. You only can look at it in hindsight how potentially strange it was.
Mm.
I don't know if I really, obviously I knew he was quite famous, but I didn't know how to compare that with other people's. I always thought everyone else's lives were mundanely weird.
Right, because it was your normal, I suppose. But your normal reads like it's all over the place. It was a messy childhood. Like, just talk to us about the sulfate strangler, for example.
Well, he was just a colourful personality and one of Dad's, you know, Dad had a stable of these people that kind of looked up to him because he was a very strong, focused person amongst a kind of bunch of crazy people. And someone like Strangler relied on Dad for a bit of leadership. And when I was a bit wayward, Dad sort of offset the two of us to try and help each other. One, to gain a bit of parental kind of warmth and for me to sort of maybe see what the crazy edge looked like. And so I hopefully didn't launch myself over it, if you know what I mean.
So he was 6'7". And where did he get his name from?
Apparently, he had a tendency, he had huge, huge, huge arms. And that was his immediate reflex, was to stick them out and start putting them around someone's neck. I don't know how effective that was. It was more gesticulation. I think it was more an act.
And sulfate was his drug of choice at one stage, or what is?
Continually, yeah.
Continually, right. What did he drive? What car did he drive?
Well, he had an assortment. By the time I'd really met him, I got to know him when he lived at our house, Dad bought him a tiny little white, very unglamorous Nissan. A Nissan Micra.
Right, and he's 6'7".
Small.
Right,
okay. And he was 6'7", and his elbows used to come out either side of the windows.
Because I'm trying to imagine him dropping you off to school.
Yeah, well, it was quite... I mean, and by this stage, I'd gone to quite a highfalutin school as well, so they were quite shocked by this. The whole... the kind of circus, the devil circus that would turn up with me, an unwashed, spotty teenager being driven by him.
So you had an older sister, Jemima, and your mum and your dad separated. What age were you at that stage?
I think they probably separated, and you know, but when I was unaware, so I must have been 2 or 3, really.
Right, okay.
I was never aware of them together.
Yeah, and how much of your dad did you see?
Well, in the early stages, the less memorable stages, I don't really remember him a lot, except for gigs and the sort of him becoming progressively famous. And then towards my latter teen, more chaotic years, I saw him a lot because he was the only one that could really handle me. So we sort of lived together,
right,
in a way.
Chaotic teenage years, right? So let's deal with that then. When was the first time you had an alcoholic drink? What age were you?
Well, I don't know if it is. I mean, I think it was the 70s, a bit like I was listening to you talking about Nits, and I was wondering if Nits were just much bigger in the 70s, and probably everyone drunk a lot more, so they were more rampageous or something. But they, I think people just drunk, didn't they? I was about 11 or 12.
Right.
Mum was perfectly normal, relatively normal household, so she didn't encourage anything like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like any more wayward than anyone else's house.
But your dad sort of became an escape for you. And unlike other people who mitch off or do play truant or whatever way you want to call it, you had somewhere to go.
Yeah, he was just counterintuitive about not trying to close everything down. So if you close everything down and make everything a sort of judicial penalty, he sort of had an alternative approach, which was sometimes kind of dangerous, I guess, but was also very effective. So he tried to inspire you in a different way. So he just took the pressure about school away. And that was quite clever, because I think he could sense I was never going to go.
Yeah.
So he just accelerated something and got to what my problem was.
The chaise longue in the title refers to a bed of sorts, or a sofa of sorts, in the front room where you used to go to sleep. Of an evening or a night or a morning. And you describe a number of times in the book how your dad became progressively more awkward, obstreperous, cantankerous, testing, all those things. So that was how the drink affected him, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just had a lot of resentment in him anyway from all of his kind of odd and hard childhood experiences.
Mm.
So alcohol was an excuse to sort of release some of that, and I think it was always there. And I guess in the modern interpretation of alcoholism, that's what it was. But it was something, you know, he'd had a horrible childhood, and so he tried to test everybody's trust around him, I think, by pushing them. It's just quite childlike. It's like someone that hasn't grown up.
Yeah, but you could sort of understand, I suppose, you were too young to understand it, but he contracted polio at the age of 7. So he was fighting against that disability. And was he struck me as a man, and I suppose this is, you can only say on reflection rather than knowing at the time, but he wanted to give a two fingers to the world, did he?
He kind of had a, but I think by the time he'd proven to himself that he wasn't what everyone expected, he just wanted to do what he wanted at any given time when everyone was least expecting it.
Right, give us an example.
Well, it depends on what type. I mean, an example, I mean, someone told me the other day, quite absolutely fascinatingly, that my doctor, who was his doctor, who had been our doctor, family doctor, I guess, for years and years, said that Dad actually won one of the first medals in the Paralympics before it was the Paralympics.
Wow.
in the 50s in Stoke Mandeville Hospital for swimming. I don't think it was recognised or there's much documentation, but he knew about it because he works for the organisation.
Yes.
And I just thought, that's very Dad, to do something like that, win a gold. But I don't think it was ever called the Paralympics then, but to win something like that and never even talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's that's his amazing side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so, you know, smashing a few things and upsetting a few policemen or whatever, I always get the feeling that most people almost quite enjoyed getting upset by him.
Hey, you know the way they say the sense of smell is the one that's most evocative. It brings back the strongest memories. And there's a passage in the book there about the smell of, let's see if I get it right now, Jack Daniels, PVC, cheap perfume, and there might be other things as well. So go on.
What are you going to ask me?
No, why those smells? And where do those smells bring you back to?
Well, they're the sort of odorousness of people that live by the night, I think. And at a young age, I sensed that. I think it was the first signal of me detecting something I found uncomfortable or ugly. So I thought, you know, that sense of uncleanliness. I went, oh, that's not very nice or unpleasant. I don't want to be like that. It's the first indication that it wasn't natural to me to be, live in such an abandoned way.
And how has it panned out for you?
I mean, I've done all right, actually. Yeah, I've sort of merged all of these aspects quite calmly. I live in quite a calm household. Yeah,
you've a career as a singer. I listen to a number of the songs, like Cocaine Man, I like that. And there's definitely echoes of your dad in your vocal delivery.
Well, there's, you know, I'm not trying to disguise any heritage in that sense, any DNA. That's us. But I'm also attempting not to. You can't emulate.
No.
You can only emulate a little bit, and then it perishes. So you have to be yourself.
Yeah. Do people constantly come up to you and tell you how much they loved your dad's music?
Sometimes. I mean, especially if you've just written a book that features your dad, then they're going to talk about it. Yeah. I try and set my musical career away from that. And when I wrote this, I knew I was reinviting that topic.
Yes.
And I don't mind, actually. I don't mind it in context of the book. I'm less interested in it when I'm doing my own music.
Of course.
You mustn't be prickly, because prickly's silly, because it's my heritage.
Yes. Well, will you share a bit of your heritage with us, or I'll share it with the people then. So just a couple of clips then.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need.
And this one, people will know Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick and Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, but you sung this at your dad's wake.
My old man wore three-piece whistles. He was never home for long. Drove a bus for London Transport. He knew where he belonged.
I'm just wondering, before I let you go, I really enjoyed the book, Baxter. Really enjoyed it. Because people describe your dad as a punk, but there's so much funk in there. There's nearly echoes of Lonnie Donegan, because where he was from in the world and all that. How do you best? Is he uncategorizable?
I don't. You know what? Since I've written the book, it's just my dad, so I don't know about that. I think it's open to everyone's. You know,
interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't mind what they call it.
Okay.
It's just, whatever.
It's good. Okay. Baxter Jury, singer, songwriter, and now author. Shay's long pink cover with a picture of a young Baxter with his Shakin' Stevens t-shirts on the cover. Enjoyed that chat. Thanks, Baxter. Mind yourself.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.